I'm here with Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of the Durant. Alexander, let's talk about a spy scandal that has been unfolding between Serbia, Russia, and Bulgaria. This is a really interesting story that's not getting any attention in the mainstream media. And we saw something similar happen in Greece over the North Macedonia issue a couple of months ago. And this one is particularly interesting because you have that kind of brotherly relationship between Serbia and Russia, as well as between Bulgaria and Russia. So now you have this incident of what's being described as Russian spies inside of Serbia, bribing Serbian politicians and Serbian military officials. And you have a similar scenario that played out in Bulgaria, allegedly played out in Bulgaria. Now, this video came up, Alexander, was posted on YouTube and then was tweeted by a journalist named Christo Grozev. He tweeted this and it got a lot of attention. And Christo Grozev, a Bulgarian journalist, collaborating with British investigative site Bellingcat, was the first to post on Twitter that the Russian man in the video was an operative of the GRU, Russia's military intelligence. Alexander, this comes from the website European Views. And let me read you that video, which today has 284,975 views. It was posted on November 17th, 2019. The description of that video is really interesting. And I'll put a link for that video so all our viewers can take a look at what was going on. Here's the description, Alexander. Russian spies are corrupting Serbia. This is video of the Russian Military Main Intelligence Directorate, GRU, officer Colonel Grigori Viktorovich Klebin paying his Serbian agent, who is senior Serbian official. Klebin works in Russian embassy in Belgrade. This is what the Russians do to us, their quote-unquote friends. This is by a username Kujue Liskuduf, 66 subscribers only. 284,975 views. Alexander, Bellingcat is also has their hands on this. Bellingcat, funded by the National Endowment for Democracy, which is basically Bellingcat's, I would say, the alternative media propaganda unit for the U.S. deep state, for NATO, Atlantic Council, and all these regime change organizations, also funded by the Open Society Foundation of George Soros as well. So they've also got their fingers on this. Give us a breakdown as to what you see going on. Your first impressions of this story, Alexander.
Well, the first thing to say is I have absolutely no doubt that Russian intelligence, and I'm not going to start discussing which division of Russian intelligence, whether it's GRU or the SVR or all the various institutions that make up the various intelligence agencies that make up Russian intelligence. But I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever that Russian intelligence maintains an active and substantial operation in the Balkans. Why would they not? I mean, if we're talking about Bulgaria, Bulgaria is, of course, a NATO country. So when somebody like Gvozdev talks about the Russians as being the friends of Bulgaria, well, of course, Bulgaria is a member of an alliance that is hostile to Russia. So it's not surprising that the Russians maintain an intelligence operation there, even though there are lots of Bulgarians who are friendly towards Russia. And I am also not surprised that they maintain an active intelligence operation in Serbia. So, of course, do the Western powers. They too will have their agents in Serbia. And of course, some of those agents will be paid for the work that they do. The agent that exposed recently that the CIA was supposedly running in the Kremlin, and he wasn't working in the Kremlin. This man Smolenkov, who was working for the executive office of the Russian presidency, and who is supposed to have been provided evidence that was related to Russiagate, he was also being paid. So, you know, if you like, he was being paid by the CIA. Corruption, if you like to call it that. Now, Having said that, there are some aspects of this story that I find really quite interesting. The first is that, you know, I'm going to simply comment. I'm not going to analyze this, but I am very puzzled by one specific point about this story in this video, which is of this Russian supposed GRU official, you know, canning out money in a way that could be filmed to a retired, by the way, Serbian military officer. I mean, I would have thought that there are rather more discreet ways of paying people than that nowadays. I mean, I understand that there's all kinds of electronic things and all sorts of things like that, but I would have thought that you open for them accounts in all sorts of countries and that you pay them there, and that that's probably a more efficient and effective way of doing it than sort of simply turning up with big envelopes full of cash. And I have to say, saying all of that, this does have a look of a setup about it. And I mentioned this firstly because obviously there was somebody knew about it because they were able to film it, and somebody was involved with all the various information gathering, alt media people who are always there, like Bellingcat, like this person in Bulgaria who in my opinion, are fed this information from all sorts of sources. I am frankly extremely skeptical that this is just things that they discover, you know, as citizens journalists. I mean, I don't believe that, to be honest. I don't really think that kind of thing is possible. But, you know, and it does have, to me, something of a look of a setup. And you're absolutely right to bring up the issue of Greece. The fact that something like this happened in Greece, something very similar to this in some ways happened in Austria, if you remember, during the elections recently, when there was this in that case it was accepted that it was a setup, when somebody was one of the Austrian politician was lured to a villa in the Mediterranean and was presented with somebody who was making all kinds of offers to him, who purported to be a Russian oligarch, and it turned out he was an actress. So all of this suggests to me that there is some degree of a setup here, and it's not entirely surprising because, looking at this, this is a time when the situation in the Balkans is becoming extremely concerning for some people. There's been an attempt to get North Macedonia and Albania into the EU. Emmanuel Macron vetoed that. There's been major pressure on North Macedonia and Greece to achieve a kind of settlement, to achieve all of that also. There's worries, there's lots of worries on the part of some people. British intelligence, certainly the British, I'm sure, the Americans definitely, about talk that pipelines, gas pipelines, are going to be built from Turkey through the Balkans. Bulgaria is a possibility. Serbia is another possibility that, you know, they'll be providing gas through the Balkans. And the Serbs and the Bulgarians have already talked about linking up to these pipelines. There's also these attempts to sort of support anti-Russian microstates that are constructed around Serbia, which is seen as Russia's key pivotal ally in the Balkans, which will one day hopefully be persuaded to break its connection to Russia and be brought in to NATO and Europe, the EU. The Serbian president, by the way, has quite recently ruled that out. He said that Serbia will never be a part of NATO or of any alliance system and will continue to be a neutral country. And of course, within Serbia itself and within Bulgaria, there is a playing out of forces. There are pro-Russian forces there, pro-Russian political forces, and there are pro-Western political forces too. And this seems to be an attempt to create problems, or at least That's how it looks to me, an attempt to create problems between the Serbian government and the Russians. So, you know, I find this all very dodgy. I'm not really convinced by it. I'm not very convinced by it. It looks to me like some sort of setup. What it does show, what it does prove to me, is that the intelligence war that is going on in the Balkans is hotting up, and that there is clearly an agenda, an agenda to try and get Bulgaria and Serbia to distance themselves from Russia. That's the West's agenda. Though, of course, the Russians are definitely there, and they're playing their intelligence game also. That's my summary of the whole
thing. Yeah, the way the video went up on YouTube by this, you know, by this source that has this video, when you look at the video, it was very well surveilled, these two guys. I mean, they changed locations like 4 or 5 times. You know, these guys, obviously U.S. spies, without a doubt. You know, they're following, you know, Glebit and around as he's meeting with this former military, Serbian military official, and they're following him to different destinations. And then they hand it off, or they upload it to YouTube, because now the U.S. spy agencies, the surveillance agencies, you know, they've got a really good handle of social media now. That's becoming very obvious. And they upload it, and they put this, you know, this description which says, look at what our friends in Russia, I'm paraphrasing, what our friends in Russia are doing to us, you know, in an effort to drive a wedge between the Serbian people and the Russian people. You know, 285,000 views. Who knows if it'll work? I doubt it'll work, but that's their game. And then you have this journalist, Christo Grozev, who goes onto Twitter and tweets this, Alexander, you know, the video, which was shot from multiple angles and appears to have been part of a sting or well-prepared surveillance op, does show a person exchanging bags with another person. Indeed, the person in the video is RU Deputy Military Attaché Grigory Klebin. And he puts down like around 20 other tweets, this guy, Christos Grozev, who's connected somehow to Bellingcat. You know, we haven't been able to establish that connection, but Bellingcat's involved there somehow. And he, you know, starts documenting this story as well, as if he's broken this story, this huge scandal of how Russia is corrupting Serbia. And Alexander, from the Irish Times, you have this. Russia has supplied tanks and fighter jets to Belgrade in recent years, and last month sent troops and high-tech hardware to Serbia for their latest joint military exercises, during which Mr. Vucic confirmed the purchase of an advanced Panzer air defense system from Moscow. Quote, we do, of course, have concerns not just about deployment of Russian military equipment on the territory of Serbia, but the possibility of Serbia acquiring significant Russian military systems. Matthew Palmer, a senior U.S. envoy to the Balkans, said last month, quote, we hope our Serbian partners will be careful and cautious about any such transactions. Alexander, that comes from the U.S. The U.S. has sanctioned Russia's vast arms industry in response to Moscow's aggression in Ukraine. And Thomas Zarzetki, a State Department official who oversees implementation of such measures, met Serbian officials on November 8th.
And if you recall, Alex, just a little while ago, there was talk about the Serbians buying S-400 missile systems from Russia. This is a much more powerful missile system than the Panzer. And we did a video about this, and we said that if that ever happened, it would be a military game changer in the Balkans. It would make it much more difficult for the United States to do a repeat of the bombing that it did over on Serbia, on Yugoslavia, as it then was, in 1999, because of the potency of the S-400 system. And the United States reacted extremely vigorously to any suggestion that Serbia might decide to buy the S-400 missile system. And there were threats of very severe sanctions on Serbia if it did. And the Serbs apparently have backed off. But nonetheless, they have bought the Panzer. The Panzer is a short-range missile system, or rather short-range air defense system. It's actually a combination anti-tank gun and missile system. It's a point defense system. In other words, it's used to protect particular locations, as opposed to providing a sort of overall air defense umbrella. But it's already a potent system, and you can see that the US is extremely worried about the fact that the Russians and the Serbs are forging ever closer military relationships. And as you rightly said, I think this is all part of this game. This incident is all part of this game. It's an attempt to create problems between Serbia and Russia. And of course, Bulgaria is also a part of this, because I have connections to Bulgaria, and it's a country I know actually quite well. And one of the interesting things about Bulgaria is that it was historically also a country with very strong ties with Russia. Russia liberated Bulgaria from the Ottomans, and it's still a very enduring memory amongst Bulgarians. And Bulgarians and Serbs are, of course, Slavs, and they speak Slav languages, and they can understand Russian quite well, and they're both Orthodox people. So there are lots of historical, traditional, cultural affinities between all of these people. And one of the interesting things is to see how there's been a steady uptick over the last 10, 15 years in Russia's popularity in Bulgaria. And of course, this is also to some extent true in Serbia also. But of course, there are also very strong pro-Western forces in these countries who are resisting these pro-Russian alignments. So this is a game that's been played undoubtedly with the help of some people in Bulgaria and in Serbia. Undoubtedly, I mean, I'm sure you're right, by the way. I'm sure that there's a US intelligence involvement in this story. I mean, it bears all the hallmarks of this. I don't believe that people just come along with cameras and take all these photos by chance. It has something of a look of a setup about it. I don't find this completely plausible, this whole scenario, but you know, I might be wrong about that. But whatever it is, it was obviously an intelligence or a counterintelligence operation by a Western intelligence agency, probably the US. They're publicizing it for all it's worth in order to cause as much trouble as they can between Russia and these two countries with which Russia has been historic friends, at a time when, as I said, when there is a considerable geopolitical battle going on in the Balkans. As you rightly said at the start of the program, we saw this in Greece, we've seen this in Northern Macedonia, we're now seeing it in Serbia, and we're seeing it in Bulgaria too.
Yeah, the last week, the Serbian member of parliament, Milovan Drecun, and this comes from European Views website, Alexander, accused Bulgaria of maintaining a network of spies in Serbia and of threatening Serbia's territorial integrity by supporting Kosovo's independence together with Germany and Austria. Shortly after that, Serbia's defense minister, Alexander Vulin, who is described by some as the cabinet minister who is closest to President Alexander Vucic, also weighed in. Bulgaria is capable of letting somebody else choose its friends and enemies. Serbia does not allow such things. As an independent country, Serbia decides for itself and chooses its friends on its own, Vulin said, as cited in BGNES and news.bg. Of course, Bulgaria has denied the claims, and they responded to the claims by the Serbian officials. So in essence, you have Serbia kind of saying to Bulgaria, you have all these spies in Bulgaria that you're letting flood into Serbia so that they can do these, you know, these intelligence operations, these Russian spies in Bulgaria doing these intelligence operations. Stop doing it. Bulgaria is saying, we don't do any of that. And so you have this row between Serbia and Bulgaria as well, this kind of mini row going on between the two nations, which I think is an interesting kind of outcome to you know, this intelligence operation.
Yes.
Via the U.S., and I'm assuming the U.S. intelligence services. So you're pitting these two historically friendly countries as well against each other.
Indeed. So, and can I just quickly say, and repeat again what I said at the start of the program, Bulgaria is, of course, a member of NATO. So to talk about Bulgaria being, you know, being surprised if the Russians are involved in Bulgaria was not surprising, because Bulgaria is a NATO country, and I'm sure that Bulgarian intelligence operates under NATO and ultimately US supervision. So if Bulgarian spies are operating in Serbia, they're almost certainly doing it on behalf of NATO and the US. And of course, being Bulgarians, being, as I said themselves, Slavs and Orthodox people, they are more likely to blend in, and they will have a greater feel and understanding of the region of Serbia than would American or British spies, who would stand out more obviously. Bulgaria and Serbia have a complex history. Sometimes they've been friends, sometimes they've been enemies. That's the Balkans for you. But generally, and in recent years, they've been very much friends rather than enemies. And Bulgaria was one of those countries that was not happy about the Kosovo War in 1999, as I very well remember.
And just to be fair to Bulgaria, Bulgaria's foreign minister, Ekaterina Zakharieva, was quick to comment as early as last Friday on statements coming from Serbia and implicating Bulgaria in the spying scandal with Russia. Quote, on the leaked video, I don't see a Bulgarian intelligence officer recruiting Serbian senior officers. It's another country that's doing that. Yesterday, we issued a statement repudiating any such allegations. Bulgaria has always been supporting and aiding Serbia. We are perplexed by these allegations and categorically reject them, Zakharieva said on Friday.
Well, and we have to note that denial. And of course, the implication that it's the Russians who are recruiting Serbian military people, because that's really what she's basically saying in the context of the production of this video. But I come back to what I'm saying. It's all very well for the Bulgarian government and Bulgarian government ministers to say, well, we don't spy on Serbia because you're a friendly country with Serbia. But they are a member of an alliance which in 1999 bombed Serbia. So they can't claim to be supporting Serbia, as she does in that statement, because they are involved in an alliance which has been antagonistic towards Serbia until now. So it's not quite as she said.
Okay, so to wrap it up, Alexander, President Vučić, Serbia will be going to Moscow, I believe, December 4th.
Yeah, he goes there very often.
To the Kremlin, yes, yeah. December 4th. He has actually said that this video is authentic.
Yeah.
And he buys into it, but he has said that he is not going to take up anything with Russia or with President Putin. He's not going to bring it up. That's been his statement. He's, you know, Vučić has kind of been playing a very, very delicate and dangerous balancing act between the West, NATO, and Russia. How do you see his meeting on December 4th?
And this is a good point, because I wonder how long he can continue with it. Because I mean, he originated his early political career was very much as a Serb nationalist, wanting to align Serbia with Russia. He's moderated his position very much since he became president of Serbia. Many of his original nationalist supporters are very unhappy with that. And of course, he's not fully managed to win over, though, the pro-Western people who are also there in Serbia. We mustn't forget that there are a lot of pro-Western, pro-EU, pro-NATO people in Serbia too. It's a mistake to think that every Serb is automatically pro-Russian. It doesn't work like that. But having said that, I mean, he's still someone who wants to keep Serbia on good terms with Russia. And he and Putin get on extremely well at a personal level. He often goes to Russia. He seems to be keen to develop close relations with Russia. I think he knows that there's a large constituency in Serbia which would be very distressed if that didn't continue. And I think it's going to take more, frankly, than a rather dodgy video of two men meeting and exchanging bags to make that change. That's my own personal view.
Okay, Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of the Durant. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on that notifications bell. Smash that like. Check us out on iTunes and on SoundCloud for an audio copy of this video. And also check us out on Patreon, on Subscribestar, and on PayPal. Please donate to the Durant to help keep this channel up and running. And also check us out on BitChute and on DurantVideo.com. We post all our videos on BitChute and DurantVideo.com. DurantVideo.com is our own video platform that we are developing. So we invite everybody who's viewing this video to check that out. And of course, BitChute is this free speech video platform. We post every video on BitChute. We post everything we do on Telegram. So download the Telegram app. Subscribe to the Durant channel. That's Durant.com channel. You'll find it on Telegram. We post everything there, including discounts to our Durant shop, where you can get magic mugs, magic t-shirts, and everything for the whole holiday season. Alexander, 20% off when you use the code DRN20, DRN20.
Indeed, sir. And of course, this is exactly the time to buy these things, because we've got Thanksgiving coming up in the United States. We've got Christmas coming up. We've got New Year. So what better things to buy than these marvelous things that we have on the Durant shop? Marvelous, like this magnificent Durant mug. When Vucic and Putin meet, they will be drinking from a mug with this double-headed eagle of the Russian Federation on it, because that's the emblem of the current Russian Federation. Mind you, I am quite sure that this is the better mug. Our Durant mugs are so outstanding that you really can't improve on them. And you can see why. It's beautifully light. It's incredibly strong. It's a marvelous porcelain body. You can possibly just hear about it ring. It's always a good way, by the way, of knowing how good a mug is if it rings like that. And it doesn't chip because it's so well crafted and made. Our viewers who buy them absolutely adore these mugs. And you don't just get mugs from our shop. You get phenomenal shirts like the one I'm wearing at the moment, which is 100% cotton. It's long sleeved. It's beautifully dyed. It fits extremely well. It's an absolutely great long sleeve t-shirt, but you can also find short sleeve t-shirts of the same quality. You will find also v-neck shirts and really, really stylish and great polo shirts, which I want to some pretty glittering places. I mean, you know, stately homes and such. So you also find other great things. You'll find hoodies, you'll find hats, you'll find stickers, you'll find books on our shop. You got great things there. As Alex said, he's worked out all kinds of discounts that you can use in order to stock up on these great things, both for your friends and for yourself over the holiday period. So what's holding you back? Go to our shop. Alex will tell you how to do it. Help the Durant, help yourself. And it's over to Alex now.
Go to theDurantShop.com, theDurantShop.com, DRN20 at checkout for the discounts, the link, and the DRN20 code. You'll see it in the description box as well. Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of the Durant, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.